Vibhuta,
learned,
Asura,
demons,
Gandharva,
the
denizens
of Gandharva Loka,
Muni,
great sages,
Siddha,
the denizens
of Siddha Loka,
Nara,
the
inhabitants
of the earthly planets,
Uragha,
denizens
of Nagaloka,
Vijitaha,
captivated,
Suraya,
by the new
bride,
Dikshu,
in all
directions,
Pranayantya,
tinkling,
Eva,
only,
Nupurahi,
by her ankle
bells.
Translation.
While
Seta Druti
was thus being
married,
the demons,
the denizens
of Gandharva Loka,
the great
sages and the
denizens of
Siddha Loka,
the earthly
planets and Naga Loka,
although
highly
exalted,
were all
captivated by
the tinkling
of her ankle
bells.
Purport.
Generally,
a woman becomes
more beautiful
when,
after an
early marriage, she
gives birth to a
child.
To give birth
to a child is
the natural function
of a woman.
And therefore,
a woman becomes more
and more beautiful
as she gives birth
to one child after
another.
In the
case of Shatadruti,
however,
she was so
beautiful
that she
attracted the whole
universe at her
marriage ceremony.
Indeed,
she attracted all the
learned and
exalted demigods
simply by
the
tinkling
of her ankle
bells.
This
indicates that all
the demigods
wanted to see
her beauty completely,
but
they were not able
to see it
because she was
fully dressed
and covered with
ornaments.
Since they
could only see
the feet of
Shatadruti,
they become
attracted by
her ankle bells,
which tinkled
as she walked.
In
other words, the
demigods
became captivated
by her
simply by hearing
the tinkling of
her ankle bells.
They
did not have to
see her complete
beauty.
It is
sometimes
understood
that a person
becomes lusty
just by hearing
the tinkling of
the bangles on
the hands of women,
or
the tinkling of the
ankle bells,
or just by
seeing a woman's
sari.
Thus,
it is concluded that
woman
is the
complete
representation
of Maya.
Although
Vishwamitra
was engaged
in
practicing
mystic yoga
with closed eyes,
his
transcendental meditation
was broken when
he heard the
tinkling of bangles
on the hands of
Menaka.
In
this way,
Vishwamitra
Muni
became a victim
of Menaka,
and fathered
child was
universally
celebrated as
Shakuntala.
The
conclusion is
that no one can
save
himself
from the
attraction of women,
even
though he be an
exalted demigod
or an inhabitant
of the higher
planets.
Only
a devotee of the Lord
who is attracted
by Krishna
can escape
the lures of
women.
Once one
is attracted by
Krishna,
the illusory
energy of
the world cannot
attract him.
So
here's another example
that
anything
not connected to
Krishna
directly
then
doesn't really
have
the power
to take one
beyond
the material
conception
of life.
The
living entity
may
be very pious,
may
follow the scriptures,
the directions
of Guru, Sadhu, and
Shastra,
and
control the
mind,
engage
themselves
in proper
activity,
be very
sense-controlled.
But
unless
there's a connection
to Krishna, unless
there's an attraction to
Krishna, this
still is not
enough
to keep
one from getting
allured or
attracted
to the material
energy.
The living
entity by
nature
is
looking for
happiness.
So
looking for happiness
means
the situation
you're in,
an activity
has to be
performed, a result
gained, and
in that process,
there's happiness.
Difficulty
comes is that
if we think
this happiness
is for us,
then
we
will be distracted,
because
the process,
even though
we're very
careful, we
put ourselves in good situations,
we identify the elements of the situations according to Shastra, according to authority. We see what is the pious or appropriate or recommended activity to be performed with those elements within that situation. And so then we perform that activity, right? But then the result that comes, we will think that the enjoyment from that is for us. So even though it's very pious, very well situated, there's still going to be the problem is still, it's mundane. Spiritual means in the situation, you observe it, you analyze it, you see what purposes can be obtained, what benefits can be accrued, and what activity should be performed. But you see, those results are for Krishna. So if it's for Krishna, then you're not looking at the situation, what you can gain from it, but what could be gained for Krishna. Right? So in this case, what would be gained for Krishna? Right? Girl's getting married, right? Then she and her husband will live a prosperous Krishna conscious life. They'll have children that they'll raise in Krishna consciousness. So if you can somehow or another assist in this process by giving some good direction, good example, you know, if it's possible. This is what the demigods could do. That would be looking at the situation. And so they could be very happy because this girl getting married, she's very attractive. So naturally she'll attract the husband. So then they will live a very peaceful life together, very satisfied life. And they will be Krishna conscious. Their children will be Krishna conscious. So you could look at it that way and be very happy. Right? Not that if we're dealing with material energy, not connected with ourselves, then we're grumpy. Right? No, that's moonies. Moonies are grumpy. Right? Because they don't have any conclusion. They don't have any Krishna consciousness. Right? But elevated personality, he's happy. Right? The Brahminical standard is one is always happy. That's one way of telling someone's a Brahmin. He's always happy. Right? So either by material qualifications, he's a Brahmin, so he's always happy. Or as a devotee, he attains the Brahminical status and he's always happy. So being happy isn't the problem. Grumpy is not a sign of Krishna consciousness. Gravity maybe, but not grumpiness. So, the demigods could have looked in this way at it. But no, they were looking at the situation, what they could gain from it. But looking piously, right? So piously then, man is with a woman, like that. There is a pious way of doing it. So they were thinking that they would like to be with them. Right? So that would be through a marriage ceremony. But since the marriage ceremony is already going to somebody else, you can't do it. So we don't hear that any demigod stepped forward and picked her up and walked off with her. Right? That didn't happen. So therefore, though they went through what could happen in this situation for the benefit of themselves and piously, it still wasn't, they were unable to check this because of lack of Krishna consciousness. So we see is that again and again, these elements are given because they're trying to point out it's the connection of the activity, the connection of the understanding to Krishna that makes it special, that takes it beyond the material world. Because otherwise, just that it's pious, it's nice, it's good, it's well performed, it's intelligently observed or intelligently planned, that still is not good enough. Right? So it's not a solution that in the beginning devotees didn't worry about the detail and they were just enthusiastic about Krishna. And so that didn't work out very good materially, right? Spiritually fine, materially not so great. So therefore, now we're going to focus on how expertly we can materially perform the activities. Of course, for Krishna. But we have to understand it's a step down, not a step up. Materially may look better, but spiritually it's not better. Right? So that's where these examples are given. Because who are they mentioning? They're not just mentioning some schmo. Right? They're mentioning people who are qualified. Demigods, the previous verse is talking about Agni. Right? Now, he's not an ordinary guy. Right? There's one Agni in the universe. Right? And so, he's very qualified. Right? He accepts all the sacrifices. That means he's qualified to do these things. He carries the Jatavedas. He carries the oblation to whoever it's been offered to. He doesn't take it for himself. He doesn't halfway there, you know, say, hey, I'm working so hard, where's my cut? Right? No, he takes it. Whoever you offer it to, right? He'll take it. So, we have to see is that it's the Krishna conscious element that makes it perfect. Right? So, therefore, according to one's qualification, if one can, in a situation, analyze it, come up with some nice plan to please Krishna, that's great. Or if one's not so qualified, he comes up with some simple way to do something with the situation and please Krishna. But the important element is pleasing Krishna, nothing else. Right? So, the other point is that the sexual attraction, it's just the greatest element of trying to enjoy the situation. It's the most intense, most full on the material platform. Therefore, let's say just within rasa. So, the living entity, if he wants to control and enjoy the material world, whatever the situation, even if it's pious, we generally see is it's going to end up somehow or another in gross or subtle sense gratification. So that's what's being pointed out. So that's just the way it works. So this is the alternative. Is you can be Krishna, see the situation, what can be gained for Krishna, or you'll see in this situation, what can I gain for myself? Now, of course, we'll say, if it's for myself, it's selfish and all that, that's bad. But if it's for the benefit of others, then that's okay. No, it's still mundane. Right? And these sages are working on dharma, and some of them are on moksha. We're not talking about the, you know, just the, how you say, pale concepts of functioning on, you know, artha and kama. We're talking about more elevated dharma and moksha. Great sages, great demigods. But still, they're analyzing the situation for their own purpose. So that means ultimately it ends in sense gratification. So here is that then anything can be used because anything reminds. So in this case, they can appreciate the femininity and then it's manifest through the sound of the ankle bells. Because otherwise at this point when the girl comes out, when they're mentioning it, then she is fully covered. That's why it says. So there's no face, no head, no nothing. She's fully covered because when she first comes out, due to shyness, she wears a covering. She's dressed and then she puts a cover on top of that because she's very attractive. And so it's a great, the contrast is so great from being in the room with everybody you know, only intimate friends, and they're dressing and everybody's laughing and having a good time and dressing up until, you know, it's either you get to the maximum point of beauty or you run out of time, right? So depending upon their ability of arrangements, it'll be one or the other. So one gets to that point now to go out and suddenly be in a public environment and going from nobody, everyone's just sitting around waiting for something to happen to something is happening. It's very extreme. So a girl wears a cloth, the cover. So the idea is that it's not that it should be sheer so everyone can appreciate. She is going to take it off after a couple of minutes and everybody will be able to sit there and watch for 2.5 hours because that's how long the marriage ceremony takes. So no one needs to be impatient. But the point is any piece of cloth practically you can see through from the inside, not from the outside. Right? So she's walking so nobody can see anything. Right? And they're going to be their kinks, so they're going to be, you know, a standard gagra is 50 meters of cloth. That's put into one skirt. We're not talking petticoats here, we're just talking the skirt. 50 meters. Right? Then you have the petticoats. Right? And at this kind of ceremony, one's probably not enough. You want a few. You want to make it happening. Right? So, therefore, there's no question that anybody can see anything. So all they can do is hear the ankle bells. But how she's walking, how she's moving, the femininity is so powerful that it is attracting the minds of the demigods. Right? Because from femininity then means interaction, means then it goes into sense gratification. So it's just one means the next means the next. So even that simple, so that here, this the ankle bells, or with Vishwamitra, his eyes were closed, and she's dancing, so what? But the sound of the ankle, the, how do you say, bracelets, that attracted the attention. And so then he opened his eyes, and then he gets the rest of the package. So then it doesn't work out seemingly very well for him, right? So the idea is that only a devotee can go beyond this, not because he grits his teeth harder, he's got, you know, like that more than the non-devotees, or, you know, is that he doesn't see an opportunity for his own sense gratification. Right? Means someone untrained, they may walk into the kitchen, see something nice to eat, and then think, I'd like to eat this, and then somebody has to remind you, hey, this is for Krishna, Prabhu. You know? But someone who's trained, they go into the kitchen, they see really nice arrangements, they're very happy. Right? They can even contemplate and think this and that because they're thinking this is nice for Krishna. And looking at that, they'll go, wow, this is nice, colors, this and that. Oh, hey, wait, there's nothing to drink. Or we didn't put salt. Or so that contemplation is able to bring out more for Krishna. So it's not that he walks around, doesn't see anything, right? You know, so no, it's he sees, but there's nothing there for himself. It's always for Krishna. So if it's your duty to interact with it, see, it's not your duty. So the pujari is there, so he'll offer it. So you don't just, because you saw the plate, pick it up and run into the deity room. No, it's not your duty. So there in this case, then here's the girl. It's not your girl, so therefore nobody picks her up and walks off with her. Right? Only the groom. Right? Does that make sense? So this whole balance that Krishna consciousness offers, it actually makes things more real, more human. Right? The tendencies that we have that are distractions are generally tend to be there's some element that's not as ideal, a lower grade in the human or even unhuman. That's why it's a disturbance. But if it's in connection with Krishna, that's the real human. That's why the rasa is so nice. It's so wonderful. Because it's all about how to please the other person. It's real sacrifice, right? It's real charity. It's real austerity, right? Means the austerity is that whatever is there, you see how to use it for Krishna. The sacrifice is that the result is for Krishna. The charity is that your time, your energy, your thought is put into doing this for Krishna. So it's the perfection. So you're getting the perfection of, as one devotee pointed out, the perfection of what is the results. I mean, it's the methods of all the other yugas, right? Austerity, charity, and yajna that you get just by being involved in Krishna consciousness. So nothing is lacking. It's actually very perfect. We think that if we get involved, then there'll be so much less personal aspect. Oh, if we get too serious in Krishna conscious, there will be not nice interaction, the family, or facility. No, they'll actually be better if you're actually Krishna conscious. If it's supposed to be, you have the nature for it, it's your dharma to do, then you'll have more. Because what's to get in the way? There's no obstacle. So, without the Krishna conscious view, then one can always get distracted. Right? And that's standard for the material world. So the point is that if someone gets distracted, then it should simply remind us how much we have to be serious about Krishna consciousness, rather than how moralistic we can be and show ourselves socially as, you know, holier than each other thou. Right? Any questions or comments? Yes. Here's the thingamajig. Here's the On the very bottom.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. How not to fall into the trap that one may think, well, I will be able to interact with any situation because I will not be looking for opportunities for self-enjoyment. And so that way one, maybe a trap in the sense, one gets more dangerous than one needs.
That's why duty is mentioned. When we say austerity, that means what's your prescribed duty. Because one has a nature. And so if interaction is based on what you do best, then you have the best quality of interaction. So, the idea is that everyone has their nature. So whatever that nature is, that's what we use for interacting with other living entities and for our service to the Lord, because that would be best. So one may move through a variety of situations, but one only interacts with those that one has a duty in. When there's no duty in it, there's nothing to do. Just like we're saying, the devotee may be going into the kitchen because he needs a mop or something, but he's not the pujari who's making the offering or doing the cooking, so therefore he doesn't get involved. He gets the broom or gets the mop. But while the person cooking, he doesn't do that, even though the mop looks so attractive. It's a new mop and it's just, you know, looking so good. He doesn't touch it because he's cooking. Right? So that's the idea. It's not a matter of I can be in any situation. It's just whatever situation I'm in, I will make that endeavor to see it in connection to Krishna. Because if it's a matter of I will use whatever situation I'm in for Krishna rather than I can be in any situation, it means you won't look for situations that aren't really for you. Right? So the same that I can function in any situation means that situations you don't need to be, you'll find a reason to be there. Right? But if it's a matter of whatever situations I'm in naturally, because you can't really control that. To some degree, but not necessarily. You know, it's like you get on the subway like that. So you decide, you look, and there's some, you know, like an empty car. You go in, you sit down, but you can't control that. At the next stop, you know, the whole, United, soccer club's going to get on, right? So you can't really control the situation. So it's a matter of what to do in this situation. Does that make sense? Like that. So always these things, it's a matter of perspective. So you have to see that the overall is Krishna consciousness, but it's what situations I'm naturally in. I don't go out of my way like that. Because you only go out of your way if it's a situation that you could do something in. Is that okay? Like that. Yeah. So there has to be that endeavor to try to be sincere and honest about it, right? So that also is the importance of association and studying, and that we either associating with those, you know, here, or associating with the previous great personalities through reading, you know, and seeing how they behaved, how they dealt, like that. Like the demigods means it is a yajna, they're invited, they're supposed to be there, so it's not that, you know, otherwise, other than that. But let's say some of the you know, tapasvis on Tapaloka, they don't need to be there, right? Because they're not a known personality or a celebrity. So they don't need to be there, so they won't. But those who would be office holders or, you know, known to the family, they would be invited. Right? So then it would work. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Yes. Here's the mic. You have to turn on the bottom, very bottom, all the way to the bottom.
So if the girl is really beautiful, and that beauty is also God's creation, so why again God condemned so much? You know?
God doesn't condemn. Who's the one that condemns?
Like demigods, you know, they are condemned because something because they appreciate your beauty.
Why use the word condemn? There's so many other words you could use. Why that synonym? Why not, it's not ideal, or it's not good, or it's a weakness, or it's neophyteness? Why use condemn?
It seems they are quite lusty.
Yeah, but I'm saying you would use that word because that's how you'd look at it. If someone walked off with your wife, you would condemn. You understand? Does that make sense? So the point is you are going to look at it through your vision. Because here, being condemned isn't the point of the verse. The demigods don't even really feature in they feature in the last ones. In this one, what features is that the devotee, because they don't see an opportunity for sense gratification, they are able to not be attracted by Maya. While even great demigods and great saintly persons, because of not seeing it in relationship to the Lord, they can be attracted, even though they're so elevated and so practiced and so pious. That's the point being made. It's not a matter of condemned. It's a matter of devotional service is more powerful. Right? Bhagavatam's always bringing out that. These are subtle things on the side, so someone who knows Dharma Shastra will know how to balance what's appropriate and not appropriate here. Right? But within the material sphere, as long as no one does anything, then it's considered, it happens. So in the Vedic culture, you may look, you may get attracted, but if you never do anything, say anything, or follow up on it, then it's no one complains. Like if the woman may be attracted by other men, but if she doesn't do anything about it, she's considered chaste. Right? Now, ideal within that is like Gandhari. She never looked, she never thought, she never desired. So therefore, she's in one of the top five. You know what I'm saying? But there, so the demigods are considered, situated as demigods. They're not doing anything wrong. But the point is they're not doing anything wrong. They're unable to not do that. Only a devotee cannot do that. So their position is not as powerful as the devotee. And that's the point. Does that make sense? Yeah, so therefore to use the word condemn. Now that's another topic if you want to get into that. But since it was dealing on a very pleasant, the femininity and the devotional element, then we're going with that line. If you want to get down, down and dirty with this verse, I'm sure, most swamis and brahmacharis would love to make you feel highly uncomfortable as a grihastha. This is the chance you can do it. So therefore, why bring it up? Because it goes both ways. If the demigods are condemned, what's your position? You know what I'm saying?
Say that a pure devotee will not appreciate the feminine beauty of any woman like that.
The pure devotee wouldn't appreciate. Why wouldn't he appreciate it? Feminine beauty, it comes from Krishna. It's Krishna's potency. But the feminine beauty is not for themselves, it's for someone else. You know what I'm saying? In other words, we're looking at this very much, the Mayavad philosophy, is that if I'm going to get, or the karma, just material, if I'm not going to get some benefit out of it, then I don't deal with it. The point is, are we getting some benefit out of dressing the deities very nicely? Material benefit. You understand? No, but you're making the very, and you appreciate the beauty, and everyone comes in a darshan, you appreciate how nice Krishna looks, but are you getting something material from it? No. So you can appreciate everything on the transcendental platform. That's what we're saying. The transcendental platform is the real platform that all devotees are looking for. But we make the mistake to think that it's in some other philosophy, some social thing, some issue, some morality, some, our idea of sense gratification or even liberation, all these different things of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. We make the mistake that that's where we're going to find it. No. And we'll be better at it. No. We see here all these personalities that are here are way better at stuff than we generally are. We're talking emperors of the world here. and then who comes to their wedding, right? You know, when you have a royal wedding, you know, like let's say in England or, you know, something big like that, then heads of state come from all over the world, right? So now if someone is the head of world, not head of state, head of world, then that means people from other worlds come to your wedding. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, so that's how it is. Someone who's on your status. So they're the head of a planet, so the other heads of planets come. Does that make sense? So the idea is that the feminine beauty, that's opulence. Right? So when we say nadanam najanam nasundarim, we mean all opulence, all attractive elements. It's all for Krishna. We're not attracted to everything that's beautiful for ourselves. It's nice because it's Krishna. So you see the beauty, it's Krishna's potency that makes the femininity. That dead matter is not the attractive feature. It's just that there are Krishna, beauty has its natural original form, right? So therefore, if you bring the material arrangement closer to that original form, it will reflect more of that beauty. So if the girl is more beautiful, more attractive, she just has more features that are closer to what the original is. The body does. But it's not the body that's attractive, it just allows for more to come. You know, just like let's say I have a super thin wire. Only so much current can go through it, but if I have a big fat wire, a lot of current can go through it. Does that make sense? So, but it's not the wire that's current. It just allows for it. So that means that the material arrangements allow for Krishna's opulences to be manifest, but they themselves are not the opulence. Right? So all feminine beauty, whatever beauty is found in every single woman, it's not her body that's that. It's Krishna's potency. Just the body has forms that allow that to manifest. Does that make sense? I have a lamp. I put a piece of wood in front of it. It blocks the light. I put a piece of glass that lets it through. Right? I put a yellow glass, it comes through yellow. I put red, it comes through red. So like that, it allows it to come. So that's the idea. So that's why there's also a stand, means attraction will be there, but then there's also a human attraction. Otherwise you can dress yourself up and be a real animal. You know? Like that. And so it's attractive to some people who are in the same species. Right? Does that make sense? Like accessories of a feather flock together. Yeah? Okay? Something else? Yes. Yeah. This way. Very bottom little dinky switch. Very, very bottom.
So this is our nature. We would like to be very attractive, but it is a problem. Sometimes people say, this is the force of the woman.
Because this is the, what of the woman?
The mistake.
Mistake.
Of the woman.
Is it
the, but
it's
this is
just
our
like
nature.
This. Let's say gold is very nice and shiny, and we're attracted by it. So whose fault is it? The gold or the person looking at it? Right? But the point is it's foolish to leave gold out where people that shouldn't be looking at it are. You understand? So it's the fault of the men that they're attracted and don't behave properly. But it's the fault of the woman that she allows herself in situations she shouldn't be express that attraction to be in a situation where she is. You understand? So it goes both ways. Both have the part. It's not that it's all only this or only that.
What is the proper behavior for us? Because this is
proper behavior depends where you are. She's in a marriage. What's the marriage ceremony? Who's the focal attention in a marriage ceremony? Huh? Who? The demigod? the priest, the husband, the girl, right? So it's her day, right? Isn't that what you say? It's her day. So she can be as attractive, wear the most outrageous, completely just, you know, make every other girl there either be very happy or extremely envious or jealous. It doesn't matter. It's her day. She can go for it, right? Isn't it? So that's her day. And if others want to be grumpy about it, don't go. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to be upset that a girl looks more attractive on her marriage day, don't go. Right? Does that make sense? But if you're coming into a public environment, like coming to the temple, you want to dress nicely, cultured in a way, but you don't want to make it that the attraction will in its own be what defines someone wanting to move it to the next step. You know what I'm saying? So if she's dressed nicely, covered nicely, behaved nicely, that's there. But if people are still can't control themselves, that's their problem. But if you know it's a problem, then you are careful to close more. You know what I'm saying? That's the point. Is a girl has means fire does have means you can say that, okay, woman is fire, so therefore if someone doesn't want to get burnt, don't get very close. But at the same time, fire also has its responsibility to not, you know, light the place up. Just because one can. You know what I'm saying? Girls like to strut it because they can. That's their fault. And that some bozos get attracted, that's their fault. Does that make sense? So it goes both, always say, well, it's this man's fault. No, it's the woman's fault. No, it's both have their responsibility and both follow their duties and it works. So in other words, being feminine, that's the natural nature of it. Just like gold is shiny or diamonds are sparkly or water is wet or sugar is sweet. Women are feminine. Right? If they're grumpy, that's not so great. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't mean they're all needy like that. It just means they're pleasant. Okay? Something else? Yes.
Yesterday, Maharaj, we heard that in the beginning of creation, Brahma created these men, but they weren't very productive. There was no much impetus. So then the feminine qualities of the man expanded into woman, and then things started to move.
And then everything started to work.
Yeah. Can you elaborate on that?
I mean, just on the facts.
Yeah.
Means that his sons were there, he told them to expand. But at least the first ones he started with, you know, with the four Kumaras, Narad Muni, and Lord Shiva, it didn't work out so great. So he was a bit distracted. So then from him expanded Swayambhuva Manu, along with his wife, I think Sadarupa, I think is her name. So they expanded together. So then they started the process, and then he's happy, right? And then from that, then his other sons have somebody to marry. And so then you can have your 21 Prajapatis, and then it all happens. You know what I'm saying? Like that, so...
The thing I was curious about, he said that the feminine qualities of the man...
Qualities of the man. Means Krishna means his both. Right? Krishna means it's both. So he can either be Atmarama and not manifest them. So then he looks quite plain. Because no opulence, he's plain. Like Prabhupada makes. When Krishna is alone or just other devotees, he looks attractive, but when his internal potency expands, just like if you look at Krishna Balaram and Radhe Shyam, right? Krishna Balaram, they look very nice, but if you go over to Shyamasundars also, there's a completely different mood because the internal potency has been expanded. Right? So on his own, then he's not that attractive. Prabhupada used those words. Right? He's not bad looking, he's just not that attractive. You know, he's not. So, but as soon as the internal potency, then there's that. So then, because then you have rasa, because the other then there's no rasa. So it's not the feminine qualities of the man. That man is Krishna, right? Or that potency is there in the creative parts of Brahma. It's not that your modern everyday man, it's his feminine qualities expand and that's what made the woman. Like that, you know, I'm saying it, best you get is, but you know, it's not, yeah. I'm saying so it's Satarupa, but without the feminine attraction, that's what it explains in the previous verses, that when the attraction, when they are united by Marja, that attraction becomes very strong. When the bridegroom finds the bride very beautiful, the attraction between them immediately becomes very strongly fixed. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, men and women are naturally attracted to one another. When they are united by marriage, that attraction becomes very strong. Being so strongly attached, the bridegroom attempts to set up a nice homestead and eventually a good field for production of grains. Then children come, then friends, and then wealth. In this way, the male becomes more and more entangled in the material concept of life. And he begins to think, this is mine, and it is I who am acting. In this way, the illusion of material existence is perpetuated. So it means it's through that medium it comes. But the whole point is not because of woman, it's because of thinking that the woman is something that you are enjoying. That's the point. But man and woman, they're serving Krishna, or they're cooperating to serve Krishna, then that's not a problem. Like we see, great personalities, them and their wives, they're very Krishna conscious and things move nicely. They don't see that the male-female principle is an opportunity for their own sense gratification. Right? So then it works. It works well. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Yes.
The same thing when they were confusing yesterday with the verse he quoted in the Bhagavatam, said that the Lord took the better half of the man.
And made woman. That's what made. That's
oh,
why
I mean, that may be the process, because the point is means that with Swayambhuva coming from him, it's still his expansion. And so he may be taking the better half and making the woman. So that process is going on. It's just a matter of, because, I mean, you can look at it two ways. There's the mechanics of it, the facts, you know, which are important, because then you can also understand the structure of things. But more important than that is the rasa, right? That. So the element is that it creates. So it's the better half. Otherwise, you know, if you expanded the worst half, would you get attracted? You know what I'm saying? You know how much you can, you know, how you say, burp or pass gas or, you know, all kinds of things. Yeah. Now, can you imagine that the woman could do that even better? You know, would you get attracted? No. You know, it's like, you know, everybody, okay, you have in your group of friends the one guy who's really gross, the real nerd guy and all that. And he's fun to be around, but no one's really attracted and wouldn't want to spend much close time with him. You know, it's just when you're as a group and you're doing something as a group, he's fun. But one-on-one, you wouldn't want to be around. You know what I'm saying? So, you understand? So if you just took that and dressed it up a bit, you know, then it wouldn't work. So you have to take the better half, you know, then you'll be attractive. Right? No, it's practical. Okay, logical. Okay. So we'll end here. Time is up. Exactly. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainatai Gaura Primanati.